You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Second half of the show is live. We've had a good one here. A lot of conversation about the new Big Ten commissioner, Matt Zenitz, on what the recruiting portal will look like when it opens again this weekend. Connor O'Gara coming up here in a few minutes. He'll respond to what Griff had to say here yesterday, saying that Kirby Smart is the new best coach in college football. He said Nick Saban is slipping. I just report the news. That's all. Let's check in with Mike in Los Angeles. So hello, Mike.
Afternoon, Paul. Hope your wife and dogs are doing well.
We are. Thank you.
So following up on Augie's idea, John Adams is the perfect person opposite Griff in the bracket. You take the old school journalist, follow the Tennessee Vols right there in Knoxville versus Griff, who was once in Knoxville. And
was once a serious journalist.
Exactly. And the other one is I wanted to draw the parallels between Griff and Matt in San Antonio. So, no, it's an easy comparison if you stick with me here.
Okay.
You remember when Griff was with Go Vols 24/7 in Knoxville?
I do.
And you would let him call into the show about twice a year. He would last about 3 minutes, and he was carrying Butch Jones's Brick by Brick and Lunch Pail.
Oh, yeah.
And he would make a lot of outlet.
I mean, it doesn't even – I mean, the word sycophant doesn't do justice to what Griff was doing. I mean, obsequious might be better. But, yeah, it was pathetic.
It was a lot of hyperbole and shut down, and he was kind of not polished yet, or not as polished as he is now. And do you remember when Matt would call in when Kevin Sumlin was the coach when he first started his career on the Feinbaum Show? And it would go something like this. Hey, Paul, Matt, we got a new quarterback this year, and how do you think A&M's going to do? So it was and now when Matt calls in, I don't know if he's trying to mimic. Hey, Paul Feinbaum, what are you doing today? And I want to talk about Jim. And, you know, he comes in with this whole different energy. And so Griff, he's doing the same thing at Georgia he did at Tennessee. But he's just got the team to back it up now because the same hyperbole, the same push. So I think Griff and Matt are really kind of the same person. I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it's considerably easier to defend and promote Kirby Smart than it was Butch Jones, who is now actually close to losing another job at Arkansas State.
Yeah. So I don't have much else to add. I heard Augie's idea, and I thought John Adams.
That is a
perfect
great suggestion. Well, I appreciate that, Mike. Thanks for helping us out. G is up next. How are you, G?
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. How you doing?
It's always a pleasure to hear from you.
Yeah, well, I want to respond to Mr. Dwayne down in Louisiana, the new sheriff in town.
I am the sheriff.
He's the new clown in town. And the Ringling Brothers left him behind. They didn't need him no more.
Remember that song in the, you probably don't, in the 70s? Was it Eric Clapton, I Shot the Sheriff?
Yes, sir. I was born in 66, so yeah, okay. I remember that, but they should have definitely. Then you know something else, too. If he is
that was a
sheriff,
great song.
He could shake his gun down in that area because, I tell you, he is really, really bent on LSU, and I think it's a little cannabis and that gumbo.
let me say this about that. I know people that legally have cannabis, illegally. Cannabis will not make you that crazy.
I mean,
you need stuff that they make out in the West North Carolina, in the Western North Carolina mountains, that you make it in the back of your house.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah. And you know, I had a bad day at the house the day. When I heard him, I said, "Man, I got to call. I got to call." Cause he had me laughing, man. Because the new sheriff in town, he's not even a rental car. I mean, come on now. LSU, what's that with him in Alabama? Alabama owned it. They own them. I mean, you know, and I mean, so, you know, but that's all I wanted to say, Paul, you know, because like I said, you know, he must be bent on something, man, against Alabama, because they're not even in the same ballpark.
Well, G, get some rest. Glad to hear from you, and hopefully the rest of the week will be better. Thanks, G. G's a guy that a lot of you know, probably the – one of the callers that has inspired me the most. He, every time you walk in, you go, well, kind of weary and don't want to do it. G goes through dialysis every day, and I don't want to say I know anything about it because I don't, but I know people that have, and I really admire that man. Thank you for calling, G. Appreciate it. Sean is in Iowa. Hello, Sean.
Hi, how are you, Paul?
We are well. Thank you.
First-time caller. Been watching for a few months now. First off, gotta say, as an LSU fan in Iowa, go Tigers. It was exciting. It was a good game. So, question for you. I see the greatest athlete from your school ticking across the bottom of the TV screen. From LSU, I would say Pete Maravich, Joe Burrow, and who would be your third?
Yeah, there are a couple of baseball choices. You had Maravich, Pettit, baseball and football. I'm trying to think. You know, Billy Cannon,
I think would be a third.
I understand why Shaq said it. It was outrageous. It was also ridiculous. But it's not even close. I mean, Angel is not in the top 10.
Comment.
Yeah.
We do have a statue of him outside Pete Maravich Center. But, no. I was curious, you being the sport historian that you are. Also, how do you think we fare in football next year?
Probably, Sean, the most intriguing question unanswered, because you know, if you believe that a lot of the holes have been filled in, I'm really not convinced of that. I think LSU will be good. I think ultimately it will be a season similar to the one we just saw, where they show a lot of improvements, but I don't think they're completely back. The schedule, ridiculous. Obviously, the opener is a toss-up. At Mississippi State, tricky early game. At Ole Miss, at Missouri, those are all losable games. At Alabama, I do not like the schedule for an SEC West run.
I don't either, Mr. Feinbaum. It scares me a lot. It scares me a lot. And I can't remember the caller's name, but the guy, was it AC that asked how many national championships LSU had won?
Correct.
It's four. It's four. That's very easy. We won one with Billy Cannon back in the 50s, 03, 07, and 19.
Right.
So he can sit down and now.
Well, great to hear from you. Thank you very, very much. You be well. You take care of yourself. Let's check in with Sloan in Tennessee. Sloan, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are well. Thank you.
Yeah, Paul, I was just wanting to speak on Shaq's misinformities there.
Mm-hmm.
Share a little facts. Correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't Alabama have 18 national championships?
I think that's what they're claiming today, yes.
Yes. Nick Saban, he's won a he's like, his record is, it's unquestionable.
Well, he's won six. You know, that's pretty, 6 and 15, or 17 years. That's not bad.
Yeah, that's a pretty good run. You know, and people, you know, he's a camp constable. He's not a sheriff. Mr. Dwayne. But, you know, everybody thinks that they're done when they have won. I mean, I don't know how many, 12 years, 15 years, or 14 years of, you know, winning seasons. And then last year, they lost two games, and everybody's, you know, they had them down there at, like, what was it, the fifth best team in the SEC this year. So my question is, why do people give up on a mastermind like Saban?
Well, listen, I don't think people are giving up on Saban. The problem for Nick Saban, though, is like Tiger Woods. He's compared to perfection. And when he doesn't win, it's like, instead of saying that was a really good season, 11-2, top five finish, it seems like a disaster. And I'm not talking about the Tiger Woods we saw last weekend. I'm talking about when he was in his prime, you expected the guy to win every week. And he almost did. Saban, you expect him to win a national championship every year. And in fact, he has won one every other year. How good his run has been.
And how many has Georgia got?
They have.
I think it's three.
Yeah, I mean, they claim one in the 50 years ago, but they have three that I'm aware of.
Vince Daly.
Yeah, I've seen three in my lifetime.
Yeah, so I mean, nobody should be saying anything about Alabama. I mean, I know it's a lot of hot air that they've had to keep in for a long time. Because they lost to us. I understand that. They've had a lot of frustration. But the facts are what the facts are.
And well said. Hey, thanks for the call. I hate to run, Sloan. We're up against the break. We have a response to Griff coming up bottom of the hour. More of your phone calls right after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. We will continue with more phone calls. Trey is up next.
Hey, Paul. Don't you just love Dwayne and JK and AC and their phone calls and the life they bring to your show after hearing Matt and Jim chewed like little kids on national TV?
Well, I think Jim was simply defending himself to an unprovoked attack.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree, Paul. Matt was I don't know what's gotten into Matt. He's changed a little bit lately, Paul. But, you know, these Tennessee fans,
so
Georgia,
Trey, are you suggesting at one time Matt brought quality calls?
Well, the only thing I know is every time when he first calls in, he says, I want to talk to you about Texas A&M football. And yeah, that's what
Trey, you have just broken the code. You've answered the question that you asked. So everyone knows what I'm getting at there.
Yes, sir. But, Paul, Tennessee fans, Georgia fans, LSU fans, Texas fans, Auburn fans, it sounds like Alabama's going to lose 6 or 7 games next season, don't it, Paul?
Well, no, I think most people are not talking about Alabama having a bad season. But, Trey, you live there. I don't need to tell you. Alabama loses 2 games and doesn't win the national championship. It's a bad season.
I totally agree.
And if the standard ever changes, then Saban will not want to be there.
Totally agree with you. And one other thing, Paul, when are your callers going to learn that when you call in and provoke I-Man or Legend, that their best calls are after you've done that, because their calls are to provoke people to call in and go after them.
Right,
their best
right.
calls are their response to other callers. I love it when they're – and I don't agree with a lot of things both of them say, but their most epic calls are when they call in and respond to others. And that's what I love the most about them, too. And to me, they are the two best callers. And I know I-Man's a big Auburn fan, but when he calls in and puts Alabama fans down, they call in and react. His best phone calls is his reaction to the callers that he is upset.
Well, you know, Trey, I think a lot of people are like that. I'm one of those where, I go on these shows and they always say, we want you to go first. I said, I don't want to go first. I want to react to some idiotic statement that somebody makes. Jim is up next.
You know, Paul, I like I-Man, and I've heard a lot of sapient things that he said over the years, and one thing he's always said, I listen. Well, I listen, too. And I like today, because here's what's going on today from what I'm listening to. It's not just about what people are saying. It's about the tone in the air, the atmosphere. This show has a good atmosphere, has a good environment, a good tone to it. And I want to thank you for some defending of me. And I'm going to tell you something. I confess this to the world. I have not prayed for you when we've had hateful arguments between each other. And it literally came to me earlier today. I was literally kind of praying to God, and it just popped in my mind. You hadn't been praying for Feinbaum. Why don't you pray for him? I said, wow. I guess I've been so mad or angry I just didn't want to pray or didn't think about praying. I pray for everybody but Feinbaum. So I pray for you. And I got a new Feinbaum today. Think prayers don't get answered? I promise you they do.
That's pretty amazing. Well, I feel good about this here in the aftermath of Easter. That's a good beginning.
Absolutely. Amen. 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 And there's been – do you – I know you listen, too. I know you got – you and I have had a very common thing. People have said that over the years, that we have kind of a same type of a tune-in to what's going on. Do you tune in – have you tuned in today to what I just said about the environment, the tone of the show?
Yeah, it is. It's a lower decimal, I'll say this to you, Jim. It's pretty remarkable that a terrible call by Matt would galvanize because every call,
Oh my! I'm telling you, I needed that laugh, and that was a worthwhile laugh, Paul. I promise you, that was a good one.
Well. I think some of it is simply the time of the year. We work hard every day.
I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know what it is, but there's something today that's a positive tone that makes it appealing to me. I don't know what it is. Some of these haters out there, they probably hate it. Haters are going to hate it or hate. And lovers are going to love. And me, I'm going to just talk, like you do.
Exactly.
But that's all I know how to do.
Well, I want to thank you for remembering me today. That's very, very generous of you.
I first thought you thank you because you have been. I said, "What's going on? Feinbaum is defending me. What? This is unbelievable."
Well, maybe,
but it's not.
Maybe it's a new. I don't know.
I told you, Paul. I prayed. I believe the prayers are got something to do on my end of it anyway.
Well,
and let me say one more thing. Augie had a great. I've always loved Augie's calls, but he's a smart guy. He kind of hides how smart he is because he's a lawyer and he don't want people to. That guy's got a lot of facets to him. Augie does.
I agree. No, he's been very thoughtful lately too.
He sure has. But he's a good caller, and I'm waiting on I-Man's call. I like I-Man's call. I really do.
Well, Jim, thank you again.
Thanks, Paul. Good
thank
show,
you. Man. I don't know. Sometimes you worry, you know, you like, this is, we've never been in a place like this before. Let's see. Yeah, Susie is up next.
Hi, Paul.
Hey, Susie.
Two comments. First of all, Tom Hanks was second choice to John Travolta for Forrest, and John Travolta turned it down, just so we know that Josh Heupel certainly wasn't trying to get that
role. Well, Josh Heupel was 15 years old. He was a
right.
He was not up for the job.
I know. Made me laugh. Just a comment to Matt, because you know I'm 74 years old. I'm not decrepit by any means, and I just wonder if Matt talks to not only his mother, but what about his grandparents? Does he talk to them about being decrepit and old? And I certainly hope not, Matt. Respect for your elders, buddy.
Yeah, you know something, Jim, Susie. As you do age, you start realizing you start wanting to defend older people a lot more. But old and decrepit is a lazy throwaway line from somebody who's got some issues.
Yes. No. Absolutely. Absolutely. I tried to talk to Roman on Monday, but it was at the end of the show, and I got cut off. But I wanted to make a comment, certainly on his suit and his butterfly. I'm sure you saw it. But a butterfly means birth and transformation. And so I thought that was kind of cool. I don't know that he realized that with the butterfly, but it's also the symbol for lung awareness, cancer lung awareness. So butterflies, when I first saw him, I had a good feeling about it. But he was great on Monday. And your callers were great. Your callers were great today. Matt kind of just ticked, you know, old decrepit me off. But
we're going to send Matt to timeout. So maybe he'll, being a teacher, you could relate to that. Susie, thank you. We're up against the break. Connor O'Gara coming up next. Can't wait to talk to him. We'll get his thoughts on what was said here yesterday about Saban and Smart. Get him to look ahead to the next football season.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We had Griff on yesterday, and you heard what he had to say there. And we wanted to get some response from one of our good friends, Connor O'Gara, from Saturday Down South. Griff, this made headlines in Saturday Down South. Slow news day, or is it really a big story? Connor joins us now. Connor, great to see you. You heard the Griff Meister going off there. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm going to have to text Mike and say thank you for the off-season content. As we know, in this day and age, off-season content is king. Look, I think Mike brings up some fair points. If I'm putting out my ranking of the best coaches in college football, I have Kirby Smart at number one. I don't think you can win two in a row and not be number one. And that's not to say that I think Nick Saban is some distant second, because I think it's right there. And I think it's a fair discussion to be able to have. But the guy has won two. He beat Saban en route to win that first one. He is doing this at a rate that nobody has done throughout Saban's dynasty at Alabama. That is still undeniable. If we're talking about most accomplished coaches, Nick Saban's winning that in a landslide, and it's not even close. But if the question is, who would you want to have right now? Anybody. You're just drafting a head coach to have for this season or next season or even the next 3 years. Kirby Smart's the answer to that. I don't know how you can look at what he did last year and not be unbelievably impressed. I know he's got a five-star factory, but they lost 15 players to the NFL draft, and all they did was turn around and go undefeated. I mean, it's ridiculous to think about what he's done in this short period of time, the last 2 years. But to me, I would put Kirby Smart ahead of Nick Saban. I think winning a second championship changes that.
And Connor, I'm glad you said that, because I am really sick of a conversation like this immediately going to, well, Nick Saban, and that's why I said what I did to Griff. There isn't a football fan, nor is there a football commentator who doesn't know and having witnessed Nick Saban's amazing career. But I think what you're looking at is present, what happened last year, what we're looking at. And I think that's the part about the Saban story that I don't know how to deal with, Connor. So I'll lean on you, because we know what he had in the recruiting class. We also know the deficiencies. We also know what he's done. Does that translate to present and future? But what do these next couple of years look like in the SEC between those two and who knows who else?
If I'm being presented the opportunity to bet over under 0.5 national championships for Nick Saban for the rest of his career, I'll take the over. I'll take the over all day. I think he still definitely has one in him. Guy's still out here signing the number one recruiting class in the country. Okay, like he's still out here winning 11 games like it's no big deal. And I understand that was a very disappointing end to a team that was preseason number one. But then you think about it, it's like, all right, well, the only team since what, 2004, to go preseason number one and to win a national championship was actually 2017 Bama. So we probably weren't taking that into account enough. Look, I don't think that Nick Saban has fallen off the face of the earth. I think there's just finally somebody that's in his galaxy, and that's Kirby Smart. And I think it's different to handle that, because you could go back to all these different points during the Nick Saban run of dominance at Alabama and say, oh, this guy here, and it's always fallen off. And Kirby's the guy who doesn't look like he's fallen off. He's not in the position that Spurrier was. You know, he's not in the position that I think Les Miles was in or Mark Richt was in. This is just a different conversation with Kirby, and we should probably approach it with a little bit more nuance and not assume that Kirby's arrival means that Saban is just falling off and he's going to go fade off into the sunset.
Let's talk about this for a second, because I'm free associating, because I really didn't think about this earlier. But you begin in 07. Even at LSU, I mean, he really had some competitors. Tommy Tuberville was one. Urban Meyer was just getting there as Saban was leaving. But really, his biggest threat initially was Urban Meyer. And then it became Les Miles, did it not? And after that, I don't know if he lost a couple of times to Gus Malzahn, but I don't think anybody was concerned that Malzahn, other than maybe in 2013, was on the verge of doing something significant. Can you think of anyone else who would be in this category like we have right now?
Hugh Freeze beating him in consecutive years.
What did Hugh Freeze do with that, though? Nothing.
Right, exactly. That's my point, is that like even in cases like that, you still saw that what he was doing at Ole Miss wasn't sustainable. And so we kind of have that pushback. And that's why Kirby is treated differently, because he has gotten to a national championship. He has beaten Nick Saban, and what he is doing looks really sustainable. But I mean, early on, you can go back and see some of the Kevin Sumlin stories that were written right around 2012 going into 2013. And people were having those conversations, and obviously he wasn't able to sustain that. But you're right. I mean, there hasn't been that real challenger. Ed Orgeron, maybe for a brief moment in time, people thought he was going to be in that. And that wasn't sustainable. Yeah, that was a minute. But yeah, Kirby is just different. He's different than all those other coaches. And in part, it's different because of where he is in his career. And I think that is a big part of this conversation.
So beyond Kirby Smart, a lot of your colleagues have tried to put Brian Kelly in this category. Do you agree that Brian Kelly is a legitimate threat? By the way, I forgot Jimbo Fisher. He was briefly in this category for about an hour last May, but that train, I think, has quit generating a lot of traction.
Yeah, Jimbo Fisher, all things considered, and I've been very critical of A&M. I think even my friends over at Texas would admit that I've been very critical of them. But at least Jimbo Fisher, the last 2 years in which they haven't been relevant, they still had two really competitive games against Alabama.
Played Alabama but, well.
Yeah, they've played them really well. But I think that, you know, Brian Kelly, the questions that we had with him is how quickly is it going to translate? This is somebody who had one win against an AP top five team, and that was Clemson 2020 when Trevor Lawrence was out with COVID. So, you know, kind of take that for what it is. And obviously he goes into LSU and immediately you realize this guy knows what he's doing. Very clearly he knows what he's doing. And so he looks like absolutely he can be a challenger to Nick Saban, in my opinion. That doesn't mean that he beats him every single year, but to be able to trade off victories and, oh, maybe they're going to go into Tuscaloosa and win 1 year. And you know that they're always going to have the talent to be able to do this. And that's the biggest thing. And what's so tough to sustain. There are so many programs who think, okay, we have a chance to beat Alabama. But, you know, you talk about Gus Malzahn, they're not going into Tuscaloosa and beating Alabama. They're not getting top five recruiting classes. You need all of those things to be able to beat Alabama. And Brian Kelly has those pieces in place. You still have the questions about what can he do against those top five teams. But to me, I think that you're feeling really good about him if you're an LSU fan.
Other than Brian Kelly, and we're not bringing Kirby Smart into this equation, is there anyone else in the SEC that you think 5 years from now will be a legitimate threat to win a national championship?
Josh Heupel's fascinating. He's really fascinating. And look, I'm in my neck of the woods here in Orlando, when he was leaving, there was kind of this feeling of like, all right, no big deal. Wasn't as good as his predecessor. They'll bring in somebody who's actually better than him. And it's crazy how quickly things have changed. And you talk about what does it take to get to that place where you're winning national championships? It takes talent. It takes coaching. It takes scheme. It takes alignment. They have so many of those things in place, and you're not really questioning that. And that, I think, is such a huge asset for Tennessee moving forward. Now, are they going to get a championship-level defense? That's what's holding them back at this point. That was their undoing, obviously, in that game against South Carolina. That was obviously something that hurt them, especially early on when the weather was good in the first half against Georgia. Don't get it twisted. That's not me saying that that was a close game. But I think that Tennessee has to answer that question. But, man, they do have a lot of those pieces to say, yes, we have national championship upside. It might take some time, and we're going to need to see more proof of concept with them on the defensive side of the ball. But Josh Heupel is as sure of a thing as there is on the offensive side of the ball. And with all those other factors in play, you would tend to think that Tennessee is going to be making noise for the foreseeable future.
So we have a couple of names in the hopper here with Heupel and Kelly and Saban and Smart, which brings me to Jimbo Fisher. I mean, I think, you know, if you're a betting guy, you mentioned Vegas a minute ago, would he be a good bet this season to exceed expectations?
It depends what expectations are, because they've always been out of whack. Texas A&M should be the most improved team in the SEC. They absolutely should be. And part of that is because when you go 5-7, you've got a long ways to go. You've got a lot of improvement that should be expected there. The great stat that Bill Connolly puts together each and every year, the percentage of returning production, A&M's number one in the SEC. They're number seven nationally in that department. You make the hire of Bobby Petrino in hopes that he's going to be able to work with Connor Wigman and build up that offense, which has just been a disaster these last 2 years. So you would think, okay, you've got those things working for you. You've shown that you can actually play with anybody in the SEC. As weird as last year was, I mean, they blew out LSU in that game to close out the regular season. We know they played Alabama tough, albeit without Bryce Young. So you look at those things and you say, all right, A&M should be able to take that next step and at least get back to the 8-4 jokes. Can we get back to that place with A&M? Because last year, man, I thought they were the most overrated team in the country coming into the year. In no world did I think that they were going to go 5-7. I think Jimbo Fisher bounces back this year and at least gets A&M back to respectability to where they're not the laughing stock the way that they were in 2022.
Which brings us to Florida to wrap up.
Man,
where and when is that ship going to be righted? And I'm not talking about seven wins. I'm talking about Florida playing for championships like they expect to play for.
I'm not holding my breath. I'm not. And I was I was one of those people saying around this time last year that I thought there was a chance we looked back on that cycle with Billy Napier, Brian Kelly, Lincoln Riley, Marcus Freeman, just to name a few. And I thought there was a good chance that Billy Napier could end up being the best hire of all of them. And I still like the long-term plan that he has. You beef up the support system. You get somebody that has inroads in those key places in the state of Florida, IMG Academy, St. Thomas Aquinas. These are things Florida needed to do that they didn't do with Dan Mullen. Those things are still possible, but man, I hated the way that this year played out. I look at that quarterback room and I'm just scratching my head going, what in the world is the plan here? Because if you would have told Florida fans, Anthony Richardson, he's going to be one and done. They're like, all right, great. He's going to turn into a stud. He's going to be a Heisman contender. He wasn't even one of the better quarterbacks in the SEC. The Jaden Rashada mess happened. And instead you're going to the transfer portal and hoping that Graham Mertz can be your guy and that he can be the bridge to gap to DJ Lagway. Like what are we doing here? I mean, going into year two, if you're selling yourself on Florida, it's blind hope. That is reality at this point with how much they struggled. You can't lose to Vandy and be as disastrous as they were, especially on the defensive side of the ball, and not feel like this program is still kind of stuck in neutral. So, yeah, I don't know when that changes anytime soon. Billy Napier has preached patience, but, man, we need to see some results before we can talk about championship windows and or anything like that.
Great stuff from Conroe O'Gara. Really appreciate it. We head to the break right now. We'll talk to a legendary sports writer and sports broadcaster in Knoxville who is retiring in a few minutes.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back here late on Wednesday afternoon. CJ is in Virginia. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
Good afternoon.
I thought I'd call and say hello. It's been months since I called.
It has been.
Happy.
What's going on with you?
Oh, everything's going good. You know, good. A lot of different things going on, but it's all good. Happy belated Easter, belated Passover to everyone. Yeah, everything's going good. I actually went back to Louisiana. I had to go just do some business or whatever, but we drove back, and I tell you, I caught an LSU baseball game. Baseball is great, and I called the off season from football. I mean, I went to the LSU-Tennessee game, and it was a loss. Tennessee won, but it was like a football atmosphere. It was awesome. So.
Yeah, I mean, everybody has, you know, feels like their baseball culture is the best, but
yeah,
LSU doesn't have to apologize for the fervor of its fans. It's unparalleled.
SEC baseball is awesome. I mean, every weekend is like a super regional. You know, we play Kentucky this weekend, and they have a great team too, so it's gonna be good. No, it's great to touch base with you. Look. I was going to recommend one thing. Driving back and forth, can Alabama do something about their interstate, Northern Alabama? I mean, can Nick Saban maybe give up just a little bit of money from his empire?
Where were your issues?
The issues, interstate, I guess is that 59 that goes back through the heart of that? I think it's,
well,
I think it's
65, I think, goes north-south.
Yeah, I think it was 59
or is it 20
55.
That go? Yeah, 15. Where is 15? I'm trying to remember. 450, 59.
It goes. It goes from Chattanooga.
Yeah, no, you may be right. Yeah, no, I think you're right. You have 59, 20, and 65 all around there.
If they could do something, I mean, maybe, you know, a little bit of the money they give to Saban, just put a little bit in that interstate stretch so someone doesn't die.
I just texted the Auburn coach, who is now a senator, and he said he'll handle it for you. Hey, thanks for the call. Nick is in Georgia. Hello, Nick.
Hey, Paul, how you doing, man?
Hey there, Nick.
Hey, man, I just had to say, man, Coach Hype is doing such a wonderful job out there in Tennessee. I live in Georgia, but I'm a Tennessee boy, that's for sure, man. I was 15 years old the last time we beat Alabama. I think I'm about the same age as Coach, or a little bit younger than he was. But, boy, I cried my eyes out whenever I was watching that game on a good Saturday night, man. It was awesome. I want to go back to what the other gentleman said before you came on and talking about how, I don't know, I don't think that Kirby is better. I think he's in the same realm, but I feel like you got to win more than just two in a row to kind of put your way above what Nick Saban has built as an empire. You know what I mean?
Thank you very much for the call. Jimmy Himes, who covered Tennessee for 38 years, will join us in a moment.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.